Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Across the ASEAN here on Money FM 89.3, and we're coming to the tail end of the first month of 2021. And after a bright start, markets are starting to ask themselves questions about valuations and perhaps showing signs of a shuddering, given recent jittery movements, at least, for markets not just in the developed space, but also here in the ASEAN region. In fact, this Wednesday, we are seeing that most markets in the ASEAN space are trending in the red for the most part. And there are some questions as to whether or not the rally that's also sustained emerging market in ASEAN valuations might be starting to come under question for the most part. And what might the next 4 years under a Biden administration actually mean for the region? Today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. James Chiu. He is the Chief Investment Officer for Southeast Asia Private Banking and Wealth Management at HSBC. He's here with us on Across the ASEAN, given the fact that Southeast Asia is his purview, to share with us his outlook for the region moving into the new year, and also what he makes of the various major drivers, at least, that could shape our regional markets in the coming months. James, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health, and welcome to the show, sir.
James, happy to be here.
Well, James, it's almost exactly a week since U.S. President Joe Biden was sworn into the White House, and markets have not run out of questions as to what the next 4 years of the new administration will mean for markets, especially those in the emerging and the ASEAN space. What do you think the new U.S. president and his administration will mean for Southeast Asian markets? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think first and foremost, President Biden has announced a very strong stimulus measure really to promote U.S. growth and increase global trade. And also, of course, in the longer term, he wants to boost green investments. So I think what President Biden will have is really a balancing act. On the short term, he wants to create a sort of economic recovery from COVID-19. But also longer term, I think he wants to strategically reconfigure and add structural growth drivers into the American economy, such as going for 5G infrastructure, green, sustainable energy. And of course, it would be very important, I think, on the agenda for the new administration to engage Asia again in a constructive manner. So we have seen trade agreements such as the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership that was signed last year. And I think these are going to be the template of sorts for cooperation in the years ahead. And I think, of course, these are things that we are watching out for. And if potentially America were to re-engage Asia in a constructive manner through trade, I think that would be very positive for Asia, and it would be very positive for ASEAN as a whole.
Of course, the return of favor, at least for global trade, might be a positive for the region itself. But talking about the outlook for ASEAN markets, James, generally markets in this region view a weaker U.S. dollar as a positive. And this has been the purview, at least, or the point of view of many analysts in the forex space for the most part, that the weaker greenback will prevail for this year. Now, as a strategist, how closely are you watching the greenback's movements, and how important will this be for emerging markets in particular, where ASEAN equities and other asset classes will move?
Well, I think typically a weaker dollar tends to benefit risk assets such as emerging markets, and ASEAN tends to benefit from it. And I think there is a strong case to be made that the dollar could actually potentially be weak temporarily in the weeks and months ahead. And of course, if you look at ASEAN, ASEAN stands to benefit from catching up with the rest of the world in terms of valuation, because ASEAN is still a laggard in terms of that in many matrices. And of course, if you have a rebound in commodity prices, a weaker dollar, all these factors actually bodes well for ASEAN market as a whole. So I think we are getting more constructive on ASEAN, particularly in Singapore. We think that it's a laggard market that can actually catch up with the rest of Asia.
Interesting outlook there. We are speaking to James Chiu, the Chief Investment Officer for the Southeast Asian region at HSBC Private Banking here across the ASEAN. So now we've laid that out, and I want to take a more granular and closer look at the ASEAN region. As we know, the markets here fairly different and fairly unique for as compared to each other. James, what is your outlook for the various regional markets here in the ASEAN space? Who do you think has more to gain this year, and who do you think will face more potential risks and uncertainties that might see them lag some of their neighbors?
Well, I think generally we are bullish on Asia. So we have a preference in China, in South Korean equities. But also, I think increasingly we like Singapore as a market because of how Singapore has contained and controlled the COVID situation extremely well. And of course, with the whole global recovery that's ongoing, Singapore can and will benefit from it. And of course, in Singapore, a lot of the sectors that can actually do well are very cyclical in nature. So I think at this stage, as ASEAN is starting to recover, I think there will be countries, particularly Singapore, that stands to benefit more.
In the emerging market space of the ASEAN region, though, are there any particular markets that you might be keeping more closer tabs of, either as possible as for possible upside or for possible risks down the road?
Well, I think in ASEAN generally, we want to look for companies, consumer companies that have a strong capture for the domestic market. So you can actually find a lot of these companies in Indonesia, in Philippines, in Thailand, etc. With companies that have a strong balance sheet, they can actually benefit as the economies normalize, as people start to spend more. So I think that's one team that one could look out for. And of course, in terms of debt, emerging market bonds, I think there is a case for some of the higher yielding names in ASEAN that are well-managed companies. I think those can actually provide some interesting carry for investors in the weeks and months ahead.
Now, you touched on bonds there, actually, James, and I do want to jump towards that particular asset class, the fixed income space here. What is your HSBC's outlook for bonds in the region moving into 2021? Will ASEAN fixed income continue to see more upside thanks to these ultra-low rates in developed regions as bond traders perhaps look for yields? Or could the recent steepening of that yield curve, which we saw at the first half of January, perhaps slow down these inflows? Again, this could also be linked to where the dollar moves. Share with us your thoughts, James. How might you folks at HSBC be approaching the fixed income space in the ASEAN region in terms of looking for opportunities?
Well, I think generally that lower for longer environment would still stay, we believe, really because the recent uptick in long-term bond yields as a result of inflation expectation, I think it, in more ways than one, will be short-lived. So therefore, I think that hunt for yield would really intensify. Where we see the more interesting yield carries would largely be in China still, because that yield differential is still extremely great. And of course, Southeast Asia also provides a source of income. But of course, on a comparative basis, it might be less attractive compared to China, for example. But nevertheless, I think the outlook remains robust. Southeast Asia is recovering from a growth perspective. And also on the interest rate front, Southeast Asian central banks generally would be on a rate cutting bias, albeit the number of rate cuts would be lesser than last year. So I think in general, the tailwinds are there for Southeast Asian credit. But I think generally, most of the income would come from coupon clipping.
You mentioned that at the moment, the Chinese Chinese fixed income might actually be a little bit more attractive vis-a-vis some of their ASEAN offers. Why do you think that's the case? And what China might have that, say, the region doesn't?
I think first and foremost, if you look at the yield differential, it's much stronger than in China, particularly in the China property space. But also at the same time, what's happened is that is in China's recovery, it's going to be extremely strong this year compared to the rest of the world. And China's leading that recovery. And behind that, it means that there will be more companies with stronger growth profile. It would mean that debt levels would be better managed, and you mean that there will be more companies with stronger fundamentals as a result of this economic recovery. So I think there will be more opportunities in China, and of course it would have to be one that is from a bottom-up perspective that is selective and companies that are well managed with strong balance sheet and that the risk is worth taking on for.
And finally, James, I do want to return back to Singapore. HSBC does have a more favorable outlook for local markets as per your comments earlier on. But do you think that Singapore's appeal might be more a valuation play or a cyclical play? At the moment, we are seeing that valuation's a little bit more justifiable as compared to other markets at the moment. Overall, what do you think might be the biggest driver in terms of your positive outlook for Singapore? And if it's a valuation play, where you might be seeing some deep value when you take a look at the sectoral swath of this country?
Well, I think we are bullish on the Singapore market on various factors. I think for one, it's a laggard. It can actually catch up with the rest of Asia. So on a valuation perspective, it still looks attractive compared to other markets. And second, of course, is that whole cyclical recovery that's ongoing. And I think Singapore is well plucked into this whole recovery. So the industrials, the banks, and of course, some of the REITs would actually do very well in this environment. And I think that investors are looking for dividends, resilient dividends, as part of their portfolio. And I think that search for resilient income would actually manifested in Singapore market, because Singapore is one of the markets with very strong dividend yield. So I think that Singapore has a role to play in investors' portfolio, and I think this year could be a good year for Singapore equities.
Interesting outlook there. We'll have to leave it at that, but I'd like to thank Mr. James Chio, the Chief Investment Officer for HSBC Private Banking and Wealth Management for Southeast Asia, for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to share their group's outlook for the region. As always, James, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety as we go deeper into 2021, and a prosperous new year ahead for you. Cheers, sir.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.